Mornings with Shona on Hot
102.7. Good morning, beautiful people of God. It's wonderful to be back with you again this morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7. I'm wondering how spring's been for you. I am actually finding it hard to believe that we're already in September. Today I'm going to be looking at how we need to care, especially for the powerless, the widows, the orphans, the poor, the aged, because this is a theme that runs throughout Scripture and is something that we need to take very seriously. And we're going to be looking at Proverbs 22, James 2, and Mark 7. And the reason we need to take it seriously is because we're judged by how we reach out to others, how inclusive we are, whether we carry prejudice, whether we treat people differently depending on their station in life. The widow, of course, in that society with no husband, had no status at all because you needed to belong to a man in order to have standing in society. The orphan has no parents, and the poor no money, and the aged no strength. We will also read about the Syrophoenician woman. And not only was she a woman, but she was also Syrophoenician, which means Greek, which means that she wasn't part of the Jewish nation, and therefore she was also considered as unclean and an outsider. And the man who was deaf and mute obviously couldn't even speak properly, let alone hear what people were saying. And so we're going to see how Jesus reaches out to all, how God is a radically inclusive God of love, how God embraces all, and how that is something that we need to be looking at within ourselves and seeing how we embrace other people. So the overall theme for me today is how we need to show God's love and grace and generosity to everyone we meet, especially the marginalized and the powerless in society. This week of Hot, of course, we're part of the flight for the children. Really amazing to see how excited they get to be going on a plane or a helicopter. And it's just a small way for Hot to reach out to children who will never have that, while they're children at least, while they're in orphanages, they won't have that ability to go flying. All of us can reach out in smaller ways. We can all do something in one way or another. Looking now at Proverbs 22, this chapter dispenses practical advice about gaining a good reputation, avoiding danger, setting children on a good path, finances, pure living, and the Lord's watchfulness and judgment. The sin of oppressing the poor also comes into it, the marginalized, the outcasts. Looking now at verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And it's often said it's actually easier to make money, again, if you lose it all, than it is to regain your reputation. And so in Proverbs, we're just reading about how important it is to guard our reputation. I've actually seen this at funerals. A person can be exceptionally wealthy, but not of good standing in the community. And you do see that at their funeral. We are told in verse 2, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. And I think for me, this is a reminder that we are all of equal value before God. We are all created by God. We are all made by God. Therefore, all of us have the divine within. And so we shouldn't treat anyone with prejudice. We shouldn't be judging people by their station in life, because everyone is a child of God. And so we need to look after each other. Verse 3, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. How important is it in this life in which we're living now, in this world in which we're living, to have wisdom? And a few weeks ago, I chatted about Solomon. And of course, Solomon asked for that gift of wisdom, and we can ask for that gift too. God likes to give us God's wisdom. In verse 4, we are told humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. If I ever find myself being a little puffed up or pleased with myself, I only look at God to feel humbled, because humility is the fear of the Lord. It's respect of the Lord, knowing who God is. And when we know who God is, then we know who we are. Verse 6, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. I'm sure we all know, I know from studying psychology, that the first 3 years are the formative years. We train a child in the way they should go. And this is ancient wisdom. It's not a modern day thing. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. However, whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. They are going to come under God's judgment. And this is what I was talking about, that we will come under God's judgment if we do things incorrectly, or if we are corrupt and give in to the corruption that is so prevalent in our society at this time. But I love verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Here is the call for all of us to share. And for me, even over and above this, is a spiritual principle involved. In my experience, the more our hands are open to give, the more we receive. It's not the reason why we should be giving, but it is something that I've experienced over and over again. And I wonder if you've experienced the same. We go on, verse 10 and 11, drive out the mocker, and out goes strife, quarrels and insults are ended, and one who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. So often when I'm traveling, when I just get time to sit quietly and relax, you hear snippets of conversation as people pass by. And one of the things that always worries me is how many of those conversations are actually negative, criticizing someone, moaning about something, moaning about a person. So I love that word of wisdom that we received today, that we need to speak with grace. We also need to extend grace to others. Proverbs are fantastic because they speak wisdom into our lives, and I would encourage you to read a few each day. Just find one that's relevant for you for that day. Before we move into the book of James, coming up now on the Mighty Hot 102.7, hallelujah.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Hallelujah on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. You're listening to Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church. And if you've just joined me, I'm looking at some of the principles, some of the themes that run through the Bible of the need for us to care for the oppressed, to ask for wisdom, to bring up our children in the way they should go, most particularly for us to show through our lives, through the testimony of our lives, that radical, inclusive love of God, and to not be prejudiced against people or to judge people because they're different from us or in a different standing. And also, of course, then to be absolutely correct in the way we deal with people and not to give in to the corruption that's all around us. So I'm going to now move in to James chapter 2 and see if we can pick up the themes as I've mentioned. My brothers and sisters, we read, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. So here it is. We can't have that prejudice where we favor some people over others. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you're going to show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? You see, we are going to fall under judgment when we do that, and I wonder if we've done that before. It also reminds me of Proverbs 22, where we are told that all of us come from God. Are we guilty of judging? I heard about a man who went to buy a luxury vehicle. In fact, I was told this by a person, a friend of this person, and no one would serve him because he was in shorts, t-shirt, and slops. So he went to the Ferrari dealer, bought a Ferrari for cash, drove it to that same salesperson that wouldn't serve him to teach him a lesson. And I think at times we all show that prejudice and judge, and we just need to become aware of it and stop ourselves when we find ourselves in that place. Remember, every person before you is created by God. Listen, my brothers and sisters, we read, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? And I do find this, wherever I go into a poorer community, there is a deep faith, a deep connection with God. And the reading goes on to say, you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Now, I'm sure you've also heard the story of the pastor. He was new to that church, and so he thought he'd do an experiment to see what sort of church he was going to be part of. And he dressed as a pig, lay in the gutter, and he waited to see what the congregation would do. And all the congregation walked past him. Not one person stopped. In fact, one person asked him to move a little bit. And then when the service was starting, they were all wondering where this new pastor was, and he walked in, dressed as a beggar, took off his beggar's robes and said, here I am, your new pastor. And he gave a sermon on how we need to treat the poor. And I just think that's a reminder for me on how we all have prejudices, I think, and how we have to work on them to make sure that we don't bring them in as we move forward. We then go on to verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? It reminds me of St. Francis, of course, who said, preach all the time, use words if you must. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If you say, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but do nothing, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, not accompanied by action, is dead. Quite harsh words, but I think we need to take notice and sit up. So what can we do? There's a multitude of things we can do. But I think we need to make sure that we reach out, especially to the marginalized, the elderly. I see how lonely they are in the retirement villages. Widows, orphans, the poor. If you can't particularly feed the poor yourself, you can give to a soup kitchen and help people who are doing the job of feeding the poor. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, glorify thy name.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 1027.
Glorify thy name on the Mighty Heart 1027. Good morning, you're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And if you've just joined me, we're looking at the importance of how we live out our faith and how our faith needs to be accompanied by action. How we can't say to a poor person, go well, look after yourself, I'm praying for you, and not do anything to help them. So we do need to be involved in people's lives, and we do need to make sure that we're actually doing something, moved by action. Otherwise, we're told our faith is dead. I'm moving now into Mark chapter 7 and reading from verse 24. And I mentioned in the beginning the Syrophoenician woman, Greek woman, and her faith. And here is a very awkward reading, and I think you'll know why I said that as we move through it. Jesus left that place, we're told, and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Jesus' answer is the one that makes this an awkward reading, because he says, first, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Shocked. Why would he speak like that? I'm shocked when I read that every time. But he was a Jew, and he's saying that he came there firstly to save the Jews. And we know he was the Jewish Messiah. Maybe he was also just overwhelmed by the amount of people who were making demands on him. We don't know, but we need to remember Jesus was fully human and fully God. But look at the grace in her reply, and I think that's what we need to focus on. Remember Proverbs 22, if you show grace, you will be friends with kings. Just listen to her response to being insulted and called a dog. Lord, she replies, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then Jesus says to her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon had gone. What response had Jesus expected from her, I wonder? But her response was one of such grace and such faith. Maybe he expected her to respond differently, to respond in anger, to shout at him for his response. I'm not sure. But as she responds in this grace, her miracle happens and her child is healed by Jesus. And then we move on in this chapter of Mark. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and he went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. And there some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. They begged Jesus to place his hand on them. After Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd, he put his finger in the man's ears. Then he spat, touched the man's tongue, and he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatah, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongues were loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He's done everything so well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And here it is, of course. And I've said it before when we've looked at healing. Jesus heals in different ways at different times, using different words, different actions. He has a completely different way. And I'm not going to suggest for a minute, because we are not Jesus, that we should spit. But we can pray in a multitude of ways. And our God is a God who heals us, who hears us no matter where we are, and who heals in God's way, in God's time. As we look at the readings today, I'm sure you've seen the theme. that we need to be cognizant of our role as Christians, that we have a living faith, that our faith needs to be accompanied by actions and not words, that we actually have to move and do something. And I want to end this morning by looking at a collect that we pray in church, that we will pray this morning in church. O God of love, your embrace includes everyone. Of course, I've often said God's love is radically inclusive. Open our hearts and minds to your generous will, that in all we say and do, we proclaim Christ's love and serve the needs of our neighbors. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? So I hope that that is what we do, that God opens our hearts and minds to what we can do to make a difference in the people around us, to bring about God's kingdom a little closer, but also to show God's love. To wrap up this morning, How Great Thou Art and 10,000 Reasons, thank you so much for listening. I pray that God will bless you and your family, that as you are blessed, so you will be a blessing to others. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.